Amen. Good morning. You got the second stringer, the substitute, the whatever this morning. Dave called last night and said he may not be able to make it this morning, and he texted me this morning, and sure enough, it was his turn to get that crud that's going around. If y'all would, while I ramble a little bit, you can turn to 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to be reading, starting out with verses 1 through 7, but I was thinking about it. Who knows, has heard of the EPA? And we know what that means, the Environmental Protection Agency. So what that entails is a group that study and follow and try to protect our natural environment that God created. But I want to talk a little bit about our environment, our personal environment. I'm thinking about if we was out there when that rainstorm came, we would have been in that environment. But if we were wanting to get out of that environment, we could come inside. We're out of the rain. We're in here where it's dry. So that's the mindset that I have for this lesson today. And it was pretty incredible, again, how the Lord does apply the Sunday school lesson to the sermon when there, I didn't know that's what the lesson was about this morning, so I didn't look over it. So you'll hear the comparisons here shortly, and I just want to elaborate just for a second. You know, I remember used to be so nervous I wouldn't be able to walk up here without shaking. Okay, I love to serve the Lord. I love to do what He's called me to do. But still, rest in mind, I still have that burden that weighs on me for the responsibility. Because we live in a world today, I see the responsibility is being lax in the pulpit. Not standing on the Word of God. But there again, like Jason was teaching, we know the Word of God stands true and is eternal and forever. Commentaries in this can vary. Okay, that's where man's opinion gets in there. And that's got to stay out of the pulpit. The Word of God has got to reign supreme, reign true, reign solid. There's no other way but the true living Word of God. Do you agree with that here this morning? Okay. So, as I read this right here, I'm going to talk to us about taking care of our personal environment. Be your own environmental protection agent, okay? Let's read, if y'all would stand, those that have got it, those who can stand. Again, 2 Timothy, I'm going to read verses 3, 1 through 7. And this has already been touched on this morning. I sit there and it's just overwhelming sometimes how God coordinates things that man could not even come close to do. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Anybody sound familiar to anybody? Sound familiar? "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts." Verse 7, "ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let us pray. Lord God, we just bow here before you this morning to proclaim you as Creator and Master, the giver of life, the giver of truth, the giver of hope, the source of all things. Lord God, we praise you right now. We ask that you stir our hearts in the power, in the presence of you and the Holy Spirit, Lord God, as only you can. I pray right now, stir every heart that's in this room here today. And I ask you to be with those, Lord, hearing by radio, maybe in their homes, cars, wherever they may be. And I ask for you to visit with those that are sick and grieved and confined to their homes that would love to get out and about. I ask for your special blessing upon them and stir the hearts of those that just don't come no more. Those that have no desire, we ask again, you stir within as only you can. And again, I pray for our pastor this morning, Lord. Heal him quickly, Lord. Bless him and his family and his ministry. And these favors we ask in Christ's name, and amen. Amen. So as I read through that, can't you see that in the newspapers? Can you see that in our daily lives? Can you see that? I work in Ripley, and I can look around and see things that we thought when we was growing up that only was in New York City, or that was only in L.A., that was only out there. It didn't bother us. It's here, right? You got that? And you know what that is? We think of all that evil, but that's the hearts of man, where that comes from. Remember the discussion a little bit this morning in the Sunday school class, how we don't realize the depth of our sin. We don't. I remember thinking my sin was still in pencils, but now I know my sin is deep. It's in there. It's the evil that is within me from the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. My sin is lust. My sin is evil thoughts. My sin, I could go on and on. If anybody doesn't get the point, look at that verse again. Look at that scripture text again. See where it's at. But I'm talking about the environment of our world today. Do you agree with that? Because we can't live with our head in a bucket. Because that's why we're in the pickle we're in. I honestly believe back when this, well, sin started in the garden. But when the change took over, I remember being a kid thinking the government took care, done everything right. You know, thinking of an organization out of a government. But now we realize that the government is made up of people, sinful people. And if they're not looking to God for direction, for correction, for reproof, they're just making it up as they go. You ever been there? So my point about that is that's today's environment. Let's talk for a minute about how is your environment today. And I'm talking to Christians specifically, but I hope it, if you're not a Christian here this morning, I hope it will encourage you to become a Christian today. Right now, if you're lost and undone and unsaved and you want to make a commitment to Jesus Christ right now, we'll stop everything and ask you to come on and we'll pray with you. But I pray you'll hear encouragement. Because look at the environment we're in right now. Don't you love this environment? Don't you love it? We're with people that seems to love one another and care about one another, are one mind and one accord, yet we're as different as night and day. Right? Okay, so that's where we got to adjust our environment to His, to the Word of God. So I'm going to read right now a few scriptures here. Hebrews 10, 14 through 25. Hebrews 10, verses 14 through 25. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's talking about what Jesus Christ, and that we have gone into his environment by receiving the gospel of him, the doctrine of what he done for us. Okay? We got that? I ain't heard an amen. I ain't heard nothing. You can throw tomatoes or whatever because Dave's the pastor. But my point being, again, is your environment. What is the focus of your environment? What is the center of your environment? I'll read again. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Amen.
Now when remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. We know that Jesus Christ paid the price for all sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's how we are reconciled to God our Father. By a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, and that's referring to Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ important to you today?
Amen.
That's got to be the most important thing in our lives, or our environment needs adjusted. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Do you trust the promises of God? Do you trust the promise that Jesus Christ made on the cross, that he was able to be that perfect sacrifice for forgiveness of our sin, that we might have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Think of your environment. And let us consider one another to provoking unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And he's talking about taking care of our environments. We need to come here to be with reproof to make sure our environment's okay. I'm going to get into a little more of your and my personal environments here shortly. But right there, that is the counter environment to the worldly environment. I love being here. I love it. I love what the Holy Spirit does within me. I love to hear the encouragement from anywhere from Miss Patty to Luke. Look at the generation gap right there. But look at the encouragement that we can all gain. Look around the room. That's part of your environment. And our environment's got to be led by Jesus Christ. There'll be other things in our environment. Our fishing boat, we was fishing and having a good time, but it had a good environment in it, didn't it? The Lord was amongst us, wasn't he? That's the thing. Your environment has got to be centered around Christ, wherever you might be, whatever you might be doing, whomever you might be with. So we're going to talk just a little bit deeper on how to strengthen your environment. Acts 15:25. I'll be jumping around a little bit here. But I got it marked, so I think I'll be fast. 15:25 says, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. It's good that we gather together, the Christians gather together. How I remember how bad my environment could get when I stayed in my head and I listened to those voices from outside. I would go crazy because because that environment was so bad. But being together, I am encouraged by our Pastor Dave. I am encouraged by our teachers. I am encouraged by your testimonies. I am encouraged by so much from y'all that you don't know. You don't know, but realize that you are an encouragement to somebody. And we got to take this encouragement out there and share that encouragement to the world. The world is looking for encouragement right now. The world needs encouragement right now. There's a lot of wandering souls out there right now. We see what's going on in some church organizations that have shoved people out because it was contrary to the Word of God. And where do we go? What do we do? I'm afraid to go there. I'm afraid to go here because of this or because of that, whatever it might be. That's Satan wanting to divide and conquer. Satan would love no more to come in here and split it and chop it and break it and quit it. We've got to control the environment. It's got to stay centered on Jesus Christ. Proverbs 18:15 says, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." How do we keep our environment in check? By making sure of what the weather's like in our environment. Are we learning? Are we seeking? Are we putting God first in our environments? Proverbs 20:12 says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has even made them both." Now, we'll get a little personal here. I want you all, if you will, if you ain't mad at me or whatever, but when you get home today or in your cars today, examine your environment. Examine your surroundings. Look at what's laying on the countertop or your coffee table or wherever it might be. Is it a magazine that represents the environment of the world? Or is it a book that represents the environment of Jesus Christ? Think about your radios, TV stations. Look at that. Would Jesus sit there with you and watch that show? Think about that. I know that's personal, but that's right at me too, folks. Right at me too. Think about, you know, the phone thing, all that goes on, all the good that is on there that you can learn and communicate with your friends and whatever and use for Bible study or whatever. But all that other stuff that just pops up, do you entertain that? Do you accept that into your environment? Did you ever have a friend you grew up with for a long time and knew them well, and they moved down south, or they moved up north for a while? A few months, they come back with a guy that I used to go to school with. "Yeah, let's go park the cars." Then he comes back saying, "Let's go park the cars." How they check, how they take it in. Debbie said, "I did that when I was down south for a while. I picked up whatever it's called." What is it called when you pick up something else?
Accent.
What is it?
The accent.
Accent, that's it, right? I thought all night for that word. I could not get that. The accent, the draw. His daughter married a young man. The family was from the southern part of our state, and it was McDowell. But no, it's McDowell. I was told that when I done their wedding. It's McDowell. They like drawing that out. But you see what I'm getting at? How our environments can be changed without us even realizing it. That's why we got to be alert. That's why we got to keep looking in our environment, because there's consistently things trying to come in. We've seen the change in the environment outside just a little bit ago. When we got here sunny, it's like, man, this is great. And then a little bit of thunder and lightning carrying on, which is okay. It's better than snow. But you see the point. It happened so quick without our control. So we had to adjust to it. We moved inside. So I'm talking about your environment. If you see something there and look at it from the perspective of your heart, and not your head. We already had the conversation this morning about us trying to wiggle around stuff to make it okay when really we know it's not, but we want it to be. Let's look at our environments with an eye that's biblical. Man, I'm telling you, yeah, man, kicking shins and everything else this morning, but man, mine's raw from here to my toes, and then right here, that's where it hits. So, in going on, so what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about that? Psalm 119 says, I had that marked, but I lost it. I'll get it real quick, I promise you. I've still got 3 hours. Psalm 119 says, 119:37. Well, that's a long book, isn't it? Turn away mine eyes, beholding vanity, and quicken thou in thy way. Quit looking at it. Quit looking at it. I have to do that. Things I really liked looking at before. When they come across the screen or whatever, thank the Lord, the temptation is there, but he's given me the desire to shove it on. Don't entertain it. That means you give it a second. Just pass it on. Take care of your environment. Psalm 18:15. I thought I had them on. I got them wrote down. That's why I didn't have them marked. Psalm 18:15 says, take heart of the prudent, get ways of knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Talking about what you're hearing. That's a real tunnel into the heart is what you hear and what you see. Take care of your environment. Psalm 119:11. Now here's where we start how we handle our environment. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, I was hanging out with my brothers there the other day, and we was traveling up to this place, and we're talking about the Bible and whatever. And Jeffrey said something about a verse, but he said, I don't know where it's at. I said, that's what it means about hide thy word in thy heart. We know the word, and it's not about being able to say, well, that's in John chapter 12, verse 4, or whatever it might be. But it's having that word in there and knowing for sure that it's the word. How do we get that in there? By studying. How do we get it in there? I want to talk about just real quick about an environment of some guys that you've heard of. Well, the environment changed on them immediately. Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 through 25, and you're going to recognize it. Now, if it be ready that at what time of year the sound of the cornet, flute, harps, sackcloth, psaltery, dulcimer, and kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you into your hands? And the reason I brought that up is our environment are going to be tried to be infringed upon. We're going to, an environment, if the Lord tarries, is going to try to adjust our environment, and we are not allowed to let that happen. We cannot let that happen. You're going to be called out. It's easy to be a Christian right here this morning. Right? We're in a bunch of good people. But when that environment starts mocking you and accusing you, how's your environment going to stand? Are you going to adjust? How do I adjust to that? By standing on the Word of God. We're going to hear how these three guys adjusted to the change in their environment. They went from being servants to they would not obey. The world was wanting to change their environment and to do it the worldly way. Do you see that happening today, folks? Wake up. I'll be done in just a few more minutes. It says now, verse, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Is that in your environment? And sometimes we won't know till we're there. Jeff and Rod and I talked a lot about Jeremy when he says, a faith that can't be tested, can't be trusted. We're seeing a tested faith right here. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. There's coming a day. It is possible, if the Lord tarries, that they're going to try to set an idol in front of us and expect us to put it on our altars. It's already in the pulpits. Yay or nay, whatever it is, but it's there. Then was Nebuchadnezzar mad. He was furious, and he was going to change their environment. He was going to make them pay for their stand for the gospel, for stand for God, the creator of all. Can you stand in the face of a fiery furnace? Check your environment. And your environment has to be strong. It cannot be weakened by worldly material. It cannot be weakened by worldly words. It cannot be weakened by worldly television. It cannot be weakened by worldly anything. We got to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now we know how the story goes on. I could read it, but you know, they are cast into the fiery furnace. Three of them are, and the ones that got close enough to throw them in, they was burnt. The fire was so hot, and he throwed them in there, and the king got down to where he could see, and he could see four in there, and they were walking around as nothing was going on, and the fourth one was as the Son of God. Is he in your environment, folks? Can you have the faith to know that he is with you all the way through? Is he the center of your environment? That's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had their faith, was in that environment, not the fiery environment that Nebuchadnezzar made. And we got to be that way when we may be in the midst of the environment the world wants us to the same. We got to take care of our environments, folks. Starting with here and going on to here and then spreading out to there. We got to stand. Here's a few more. Just a few more. I'm about done, folks. I'm about done. Start stretching and yawning and we'll be done. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. 2, 9, and 10. But ye are a chosen generation. You hear that? God's word talking to you right now. If you're a Christian, ye are a chosen generation, chosen by God. Man, doesn't that humble you? That ought to make our environment be purified. Cast out that which is distractive from the word of God. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. And if you follow any of the news, peculiar is not a bad word. But we've been called deplorables. We've been called so many different negative things, but that's that mocking. We are peculiar because we're different, because we are trusting in the blood of Jesus. We are seeking His ways and not their ways or my ways. He says, that ye should show forth the praise of Him that called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's good stuff right there. And that's not Jamie, that's the Word of God. I pray that that speaks to your heart here this morning, and it'll make you take a good long look at your environment. 2 Timothy, back to that. 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, you hear this. Here's how we can protect our environment. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Is that the foundation of your environment? And if it is not, He's telling us how we can shore up our environment by studying the Word of God. Let that environment be controlled by the Word. Let it be controlled by the faith in Jesus Christ. Let it be controlled by our commitment, by the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Let God control the thermostat in your environment, please. 2 Timothy 3:16. That's the one I just read, 3:16, all Scripture. Yeah, Dave, when you said that earlier about John 3:16, you know, have you ever took a time and go look through the verses all that fall in 3:16, all the books? It's pretty amazing. Do that sometime. I'm looking for 2 Peter 2:15-16. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, right dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. What's he just telling us right there? All this stuff, this worldly stuff, is demeaning to us. It's not building up our environment. It's polluting our environment. And when our environments are polluted out there, sometimes they get brought into the church, right up to the pulpit. And I'm going to close right there with the all Scripture, and just speak for just a second while they get ready to get us a song. You are your own environment. Do you realize that? You can, if you're in a place that doesn't fit, that is disturbing, get away from there. Change the position, because your environment is here. Just like the example a while ago, if you stand out there and started raining, you'd come in here. What would happen? You'd be changing your environment because of what something you didn't like was out there. So let's make a meter on what fits in our environment. Again, I'm doing it myself right now. When we get home, when we go out and do stuff, whatever it might be, let's look what's laying in our homes. Would Jesus like that? Would Jesus read that? Would He be entertained by that? Would He watch that? Would He scroll that? Ask yourself. Think about that. Look around.